ready. We're a little cranky, you know, whatevs. Oh my goodness. Hey everybody, it's Kai. We are back today with Make Me Smart, the daily version. It is Thursday. Molly Wood is here as well.
I'm only like a little cranky. I literally just had a delightful visit from OG Make Me Smart producer Jenny Josephson.
Is she in town?
Sort of. She was going to sort of stop by to say a quick hello before the show. So I'm not crabby anymore, nice. even though it's hollowed out shell Thursday. She said, say hi to the team.
She's great. Jenny's great. Yep. Jenny is great.
Launched this show, people. Got that thing out the door.
She did.
Gave birth to this baby. Like, and here we are all grown up.
Now, which is just bananas.
Is that true? Wow.
I'm just saying, yeah. It'll be 4 years on inauguration day.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Right, because fascinating.
Isn't it?
We are going to need a retrospective. Indeed.
There's a lot of, that was very meta. That was very meta.
Dang. That was very meta. Anyway, so, here we are on Hollowed Out Shell Thursday, lo these many years later, yes. And wow.
Yes, you get to go first, because yours is actual news and mine is kind of derivative news.
All right. Well, mine's news-ish. I decided to take a minor detour into my regular beat today and talk a bit about what happened with Uber and Lyft in the last 24 hours, specifically Lyft. So if you have not been following, I'll forgive you if you haven't been paying attention to this story in the midst of all the other things. But back in January, California Supreme Court ruled that Uber and Lyft and other companies that employ legions of gig workers, we're going to have to reclassify those employees as employees and pay them things like unemployment, insurance, you know, vacation,
right,
all those things, and payroll taxes to the state, not for nothing.
Yep.
And Uber and Lyft have been waging an ongoing legal battle. And finally, an appeals court said, like, nope, sorry, you got to do it. And Lyft almost immediately announced, well, okay, we're just going to have to suspend operations in California. Right. And it was expected that Uber would do the same thing. And that was earlier today, Thursday, and caused a lot of freak out. And I was going to come on your show and talk about it. And my brother was like, oh, way to go, California. His favorite thing. Now we're not going to have Lyft. And I was like, don't worry about it.
Doesn't
like, there's
live
no
in
way.
California now?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Doesn't he? Yeah.
He's the mad person. He's just.
Gotcha.
I know sometimes I seem like a mad person, but trust me, it's nothing.
All right. Fair enough.
He's a Capricorn. Anyway, yeah. I was like, don't worry about it. It's not going to happen. They're not. This is basically a forcing function. And, you know, California's probably going to cave and they're going to. And that's what happened. California Appeals Court extended the length of time that Uber and Lyft have to comply with this order, in theory requiring them to reclassify rideshare drivers as employees. Presumably then the same thing will happen all over again. And the comment that I wanted to make about this story is that basically this is the kind of story that represents like a failure of lawmaking at every level. And nationwide, but particularly in California where these companies started, the business model was always illegal. Like it just was. They were illegally employing people. They were undermining taxi services and were allowed to grow into what are now services that across the country have replaced public transit. They've replaced infrastructure. They have become essential. So they get to the point where they're so big that then they can threaten what is evidently called a capital strike. They can basically just say, we're going to stop operating there. And they've done this throughout. This is straight out of Uber's playbook, actually. Uber did it in Austin and other cities.
Oh, for sure.
Like, oh, we can't operate there. Please get all fired up and call your lawmakers. And they'll do this to the point where, you know, in some way, California has to cave. But it was exacerbated by the fact that when California finally did try to close this barn door, they just did it by saying you have to classify everybody as an employee and do that in the same old antiquated way that employment has happened forever, when in fact that itself no longer fits the model under which people want to work.
So what do you think of this idea? And Megan McCarty Carino did a story on this for us on Marketplace 10 days, 2 weeks ago, about the search for a third way.
The third way,
There are regular full employees. There are people who want to be independent contractors. And it seems to me that there is a gap in the middle there that could be filled if some creative public policy person can find a way to make that work, you know?
Yep. Even when AB 5 was going into effect. I mean, that's what's so frustrating is that this is one of many instances of, oh, geez, who could have seen this coming? All the people who were saying, California lawmakers, you should come up with a third way, like some version of pooled benefits, because labor is changing. The things that are beneficial about the gig economy are real, but they come with no safety net.
Yep.
And there's a way to do it. And that is not what anybody tried to do. They were just like, oh, well, people must instead only want to be. And it's just like, could you just listen? Could everybody just listen just for like a minute?
All right. So things that people should have seen coming, installment number 3,597. We go back to colleges and the coronavirus. And I will confess, I didn't find this one. You put it in our Make Me Smart Slack. And I'm like, you have got to be kidding me. So apparently Syracuse University is trying to go all on campus with classes and residence halls and all that jazz. And apparently on Wednesday night, first year students at Syracuse, being the new college freshman 18-year-olds that they are, said, hey, let's have a party in the quad. It'll be awesome. And the provost is pissed. He is technically the vice chancellor for strategic initiatives and innovation. So he saw this party going on and he wrote a letter of which I will read just a few select phrases. Dear students, last night, a large group of first-year students selfishly jeopardized the very thing that so many of you claim to want from Syracuse University. That is a chance at a residential college experience. Make no mistake, there was not a single student who gathered on the quad last night who did not know and understand that it was wrong to do so. Instead, these students knowingly ignored New York State public health law. A full investigation of last night's incident is underway. The Department of Public Safety is reviewing security camera video from the quad, and individuals can be identified. Who can be identified will immediately be referred to the student conduct process. I would suggest, Mr. Vice Chancellor for Strategic Innovations, Initiatives and Innovation, that you look in the mirror, pal. Because come on, man. I mean, yes, they're idiots, but they're college freshmen. They're college freshmen.
You know, it's kind of like Sturgis. I had the same response about Sturgis to the big motorcycle rally in South Dakota. Yeah. I was like, I actually don't think that you get to shame it's open. If bars are open, people are going to go. Right. If college is open, people are going to go have a party in the quad. That's what college is in fact for. If, you know, Sturgis is open. Uh-oh, I made him choke. I killed him. I'm assuming that he's muting.
I am muting. The problem is I have to step away to get to the mute button. And I swallowed my water wrong because I'm so pissed.
He has to leave.
Oh, man.
I'm so sorry. Yeah, the idea, this is just blaming the victim.
It's bananas. It's crazy. It's crazy. Yeah, blaming the victim.
They take their money. They uproot their lives. They make them show up. And then they're like, by the way, you have to live under these rules that absolutely no one is ever going to live by. And if you don't, you're going to be lectured from J. Michael Haney. I'm sure it's Haney, but I'm such a child right now.
Haney, but yes. Yes.
But I wonder if everyone calls him Haney. We'll just talk about how selfish and unsettling.
His friends did when they were five.
At least seven.
Yeah, it's insane. It's insane. And honestly, when can we stop this, right? When are schools going to realize that they have to give all the money back, right? Or whatever fraction that they think they can, you know, legitimately withhold and say, I'm sorry, we simply cannot do this. It would be irresponsible. But no, they're going to yell at them. I don't get it.
I know. I could not believe that note. I would have, if I were a parent and I read that note, I'd be like, yeah, we'll take all our money now back. Yeah. Give me a break.
Yeah.
All right. Smile time. Time for some smiles.
Smile time. So it's a design flaw with my little setup here that I have to get up and go 6 feet across the room to hit the cough button when I do this podcast. Anyway, sorry about that.
You need one of those
Okay.
You need one of those pokers, the long stick.
I do. That's right. That's exactly right. Okay. So mine, I think I've said before on this podcast. In fact, I know I have that I'm a history geek. And there was a piece in Politico today that just, speaking of pushing buttons, pushed all my buttons. It's a piece about Joe Biden and how he's going to be the first of the silent generation, that is to say, born between World War II and Vietnam, to actually win the presidency. And there's some amazing little factoids in here about how old Joe is and fundamentally how young this country is. When Biden arrived in the U.S. Senate at the age of 30 on January 3rd, 1973, he joined six senators who were born in the late 1800s. Think about that. Think about that. Right? His life has overlapped, Politico says, with well over 80% of the people who have ever lived in America since 1776, which is also bananas. And for the history geeks out there, might I recommend to you on Kottke.org by Jason Kottke, this collection of things he has called The Great Span, which is all about those quirks of long lives and history that connect you. Like, for instance, the president who has grandsons living today, and this is a president like from 1800 and something. I think it's Andrew Jackson, but I will duck it as...
Score.
Yes. No, sorry. John Tyler. John Tyler has two living grandsons. It's bananas. John Tyler died in 1862. And he's got two grandsons who are alive today. Yeah. So history is cool. And I just want to say that.
The youth of the country part is what's so fascinating. That's crazy. Mm-hmm. Imagine, my God, now I'm down this rabbit hole. Imagine that Joe Biden, as an infant, was bounced on the knee of someone who was the same age then that he is now, like his own grandparent maybe. That person, in turn, was born early enough that he or she, in theory, could have bounced on the knee of Abraham Lincoln. What?
I know. History is cool. People make fun of me for being so into history, but it's cool.
You know, I'm going to cop to having started out making fun of you a little bit when I clicked this link. That happened, and I'm a convert. I thought I knew that this was going to be weird, but in fact, it was great. Make me smart.
There you go.
My Make Me Smile today is a little bit bittersweet in that I was devastated and crushed and brokenhearted to hear that Drunk History has been canceled after six seasons.
Oh, I saw this. Yeah.
Oh, Comedy Sense. I mean, you know, it had six seasons, and that's great. And this guy, Derek, if you don't know it, literally people get drunk and recount history. How great is it that we have two history things right now?
There you go.
And I have learned, like, so many cool things from this show, from drunk people. And when it first came on, I wanted to be on so bad. So bad. And I'd watch it with my son, you know, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, and I'd be like, I think I'm famous enough to be on Drunk History. And then those days obviously passed by because it got really big. And now I will never get my chance. But the reason that this is a Make Me Smile is because if you haven't watched it, now you get to. You have six seasons, and I'm like so happy for you, audience. You're going to love it. That's it. Yeah. Go check it out.
Check it out.
And that is it.
Well, there we go.
For our daily show. Ta-da! It's only been
a little bit of history and, you know, whatever.
Oh, so good. Honestly, the one about Lewis and Clark is like one of my all-time favorite episodes. Just skip straight to that one. Okay, anyway, we'll be back tomorrow with Economics on Tap. I'm bringing Añejo tequila, I've decided in advance.
Oh.
We will, I hope, right? Yes, we will be live on YouTube, dependent on fires, heat waves, and random internet outages because we... live in California.
And play.
But hope springs eternal for the Marketplace APM YouTube channel, 3:30 p.m. Pacific, 6:30 p.m. Eastern. Did you hear there's plague? The plague is back.
Yes, there's plague in Tahoe. Yes, I know.
There's plague in Tahoe.
I know.
I mean, the plague never left, but plague showed up in Tahoe.
But it's like treatable now. Anyway.
Legit apocalypse, you guys.
Anyway.
So anyway, we'll see you tomorrow with drinks.
Yes.
Ooh. Almost brought some today. Make Me Smart is produced and directed this week by Tony Wagner, who is also our digital producer. Ben Hethcote is our video producer. Ethan Peretz is our video intern extraordinaire. And Erica Phillips writes our newsletter. And check out this rewrite. Those explainers on your smart speakers. That's right. Bridget, making it happen.
Bridget Bonner, taking charge, kicking ass, and taking names. Today's program is engineered by Daniel Ramirez. Our theme music was composed by Ben Talladay. And Daniel, the senior producer, is... Bridget Bodner, executive director of On Demand. Although, honestly, I'm not even sure if she still works here because I haven't heard from her in a week and a half. It's Tanya Evans. You know, if you're still
she's
working
very
here,
busy. She's right there
Let
in the
know
Slack.
Oh,
she's
is
right
she?
There.
Well, you know.
Right there.
No, I'm sorry.
Oh, you got the double names.
Did I?
She got the Kai. Yeah, you got the Kai Rizdal. H-E double toothpicks.
Oh, my goodness. That was pretty
That fun. Was hardly hollowed out at all. What a good show.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.